We don't go to God as a genie and ask him for new cars and new jobs and new homes. Yes, those are nice things. And yes, God has a tendency to bless people with those things. There's no question about that, that God does want to bless his children, but he wants to bless them according to the calling upon their life.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is By the Holy Spirit.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. That again is www.awordfromgod.net. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking today about the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to achieving what God has called us to do in our lives. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Oftentimes we think that when God calls us to do a work, it's by our power that he's calling us to do it. And that is not the case. In fact, God will make sure that whatever he calls you to do, you cannot do on your own power. You cannot do with your own resources, so that he can make himself strong in your life. See, God wants to achieve his work through you, but he doesn't want to achieve it by you. And what I mean by that is that it's the Holy Spirit's work in your life that achieves the works that we do for God. Let's look at Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Now he was talking to Gideon, and Gideon was hardly a man of valor when God called him out. But God was going to make him into such a man. And remember when Peter was called out? Peter was called a rock. Well, Peter didn't have any faith at the time that God was calling him a rock, but God called him as he foreseen him to be. Now, getting back to Judges, Gideon was hardly a man of valor, but God was going to use him to conquer their enemies. Look in verse 14 where God says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" Now, what God is saying is that the might that Gideon has is God. And then he closes by saying, "Have I not sent you?" But what does Gideon say? He's got the angel of the Lord speaking to him. But yet, in verse 15, Gideon replies, "So he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" And so you would think that that would settle the matter, but not for Gideon, because Gideon is looking at himself. In verse 14, he gives God all these reasons why he just cannot do it, including being the least in his house. So in verse 17, he continues, "Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who would talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.'" Now see, he's asking God for a sign. Now, of course, Christians today, we have the Holy Spirit. But I do know of a lot of Christians who still ask for signs. They're not sure that what God has called them to do is what they're supposed to be doing. And that's because they're looking at themselves instead of looking at God. Well, this is what Gideon is doing. Gideon is talking with the angel of the Lord, and now he's putting him to the test, if you will, to make sure that it's not his own imagination or that he's not hearing wrong or whatever he's seeing is the real deal. So, of course, you know, Gideon goes up there and he brings this food back, and the angel of the Lord, he consumes it with fire, and he gives him his sign. And so now Gideon knows or so you would think, that God has called him out to do this. But as we read on in the book of Judges, we're going to find that Gideon still isn't convinced. And so is it with us today. We are called to do works for God. We are called to do good works in the name of Jesus Christ. As Christians, as disciples of Christ, we are to bring people to Jesus Christ. And God sees inside of us what we don't see. And you know, whatever you think you don't see, but you know that God has called you to do, God will build that into your character. The character of Christ is what he's ultimately building in our lives. And if God is building the character of Jesus Christ within you, then what are you afraid of? Because God will shape you and mold you and build you into the person that he's called you out to be. Now, you might be thinking, that's impossible. I can't change. Well, you're right in the sense that you can't change yourself, but you can be changed by the Holy Spirit, because it is not by your might, it is not by your power, but it is by the Holy Spirit that change takes place. We underestimate too many times the power of the Holy Spirit. We become a part of God's family when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yet we leave out the most important part of that, and that is God becomes our Father. And when he becomes our Father, he comes to dwell with inside of us. His Holy Spirit is inside of us, changing us from the inside out. And he calls us out to do good works for him. The book of James tells us that when we have our works out in front of us, we have our faith out in front of us, which means that our faith is recognized by our works. So if you want to show the level of faith that you have for God, show it through the works that you are doing. Now, I'm not talking about salvation faith. I'm not talking about that kind of faith. I'm not saying that works will bring you salvation, but works do display your faith. You know, there's all kinds of levels of faith. There's salvation in Christ faith, but then there's living your everyday life in faith, stepping out and doing what God has called you to do. And that takes faith. That takes faith every single day. When you get out of bed, you have to get into prayer. You have to get into God's Word. You have to know God's Word, meditate on it, and then you have to get direction from God. The Holy Spirit will direct you even at times when you don't even feel Him at work. Too many times people come to me and they say, I just don't feel like I'm moving anywhere with God. Well, the pace that you move at God is dictated by your devotion to God. How fast do you want to move with God? Do you want to move at a snail's pace, or do you want to move at a jackrabbit's pace? See, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not fellowshipping, if you're not attending church regularly, if you're not praying to God and doing this on a daily basis, if you're not making an effort, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a whole lot to work with. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't need all of those things to make you into what God has called you to be, but he prefers those things, because if we draw near to God, God draws near to us. So what I'm saying is, yeah, sure, God can use his Holy Spirit to just instantly transform you into the person he wants you to be. But that wouldn't be fun. And that certainly wouldn't be your free will, would it? No, we have to surrender on a daily basis and let the Holy Spirit have its way. But way too often, we stay stagnant. We just become passive. We just sit still and we just live our lives, and we live it out of our own strength. And we know, we feel a tug that God is calling us to do something. And maybe he'll bring somebody in the church and they'll ask you for help in a particular area, ask you to volunteer for something. Yet, you know, you back off from that. You just think to yourself, I don't have time. Or I can't do that. That's too big of a project. Surely God wouldn't call me to do something that big. That's impossible for me to do. But if God's calling you to do it, he's going to give you the resources. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the grace. He's going to give you everything you need to do. But there's one thing he may not give you to do, and that's the will to do it, because that's on your side of things. You have to be willing. God doesn't want to drag people into his service. He wants people to work joyfully for him. What would be the fun of forcing people into slave labor? No, we are called bond slaves. You know what a bond slave is? It is a person who voluntarily sells themselves into service. That's what we did. Jesus Christ bought us with his blood. We were bought with a price. The Bible teaches this. So we become bond slaves to God. A bond slave is a willing participant, a person who walked into the agreement knowing what they were getting themselves into. Did not Jesus tell us to count the cost before we come follow him? Yes, he did. Did you count the cost before you started following Jesus Christ? Well, if you didn't, you might be a little surprised to find out that God has a work for you to do. And that work is going to take faith. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. It is not by our might. It is not by our power, but it is by the Holy Spirit that we achieve the works that God has us to do. Now we have to feed ourselves with God's word. We have to drench ourselves with God's presence through prayer and fellowship. We have to come closer to God so that God will come closer to us, so that we can obtain the will of God for our lives, so that we can decipher what it is. I don't know of anybody that God has come down with a big fat book for them and told them, here, this is what I want you to do. Start on page one and go all the way through it. No, God gives us instructions most of the time, day by day. Jesus told us that we need to pray for our daily bread. That's our daily resources. We should lean on God on a daily basis. But often we just come to church, we leave, and then on Monday morning, we're back at work and we're doing the same old thing that we've always been doing. We're just in the same rut, making the same mistakes, stuck in the same old sins. And we're not doing the Word of God. And when we start doing the Word of God, we become obedient to God. We become aligned with God. And, you know, through obedience, if we could just stop right here and just focus on obedience, if we could just subject ourselves to the obedience of God's Word as Christians, if we could just align ourselves with obedience, if we could, I mean, I'm talking about just obeying God's word in all of the areas of our lives. If we could just align ourselves in obedience, blessings are a side effect of that. The Holy Spirit has much more to work in us when we lay aside disobedience. The beginning steps are get into your Bible, read it, pray to God, and be obedient to what he's telling you in his word. It's so important because with disobedience, we pay the consequences of the sins that we get ourselves into. And so we want to avoid those because those can hinder our walk with God and, of course, hinder the calling that God has on our lives. And yes, God does have a calling for each and every one of us. You're not too old. You're not too young. As soon as you come to God, and I mean on a daily basis, and start asking him to guide your footsteps on a daily basis, he will do it. Now, Gideon, he knew this concept. He came to God and he asked him for signs. And even after God consumed the food with fire, Gideon came back to God and did the fleece thing. He put the fleece out and said, if it's really you talking to me, God, and you're going to do this for me, here's the fleece and make it have dew on it, but the ground dry. And then the next time, make the ground wet, but the fleece dry. And so he was testing God out. He was testing God out and God answered those prayers. Now, I'm not telling anyone to put out a fleece because my point here is that the Holy Spirit will guide us. And that's the whole point of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, is so that God could bring the Holy Spirit to us Christians so that we could have the guidance that God wants to give us. God himself is now living inside of us, changing us, directing us, living within us. But yet, we still do the things that Gideon does. And what I mean by that is that we become unsure of the provision that God has for each and every one of his followers who are doing the will that he has called them to do. Yes, God wants to bless you, and you can have much more blessings from God if you are in his will. Philippians 4:19 says that he will give us everything that we need according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. God has an endless supply of resources to give his children. And he is going to give each and every one of us those resources as we need them on a daily basis according to the works that he set us out to do. We don't go to God as a genie and ask him for new cars and new jobs and new homes. Yes, those are nice things. And yes, God has a tendency to bless people with those things. There's no question about that, that God does want to bless his children, but he wants to bless them according to the calling upon their life. Not everybody that comes to God is meant to be rich. Jesus himself didn't have a place to lie his head at night. You think he walked around as a rich man? No. No, he hung around poor people. He hung around poor fishermen. They didn't have money spilling out of their pockets, but they had everything that they needed because God was supplying on a daily basis. And that's the way we are to live. Now, I know that in today's age, and a lot of preachers are not preaching this, they're preaching the gospel of prosperity. They're preaching what God can do for you instead of what you can do for God. And that is the wrong attitude. We come to God with a joyful heart, ready to serve, willing to serve, wanting to serve Him. Why? Because I promise you this, whatever it is that God has called you to do, you will love to do it. Now, you might be thinking, what could I do for God that I would enjoy? I don't like religious activities. Well, God is not calling you into a religion. He's calling you into a relationship. I don't know what God's calling you to do with your life, but I know that God has a special plan for you. I know that He has a special work for you. And maybe you don't think you have a whole lot of talents, but God knows what your talents are, and He knows how to polish the talents that you already have. And He knows how to develop new talents that you don't even have. God can give you the grace and will give you the grace to do whatever He's called you to do, but not through your might, not through your power, but through the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the way that He changes us and changes others around us. You would be amazed at the work that the Holy Spirit is doing around you right now that you can't even see. That's because God is always working. Jesus said that upon this rock, He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does that mean to you? That means that you're a part of God's church right now as a Christian. And as a part of God's church, the gates of hell can't even come against you and win. Oh, they might try to attack you. They might try to destroy you. They might try to discourage you. But the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against God's church, because no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. So what are you afraid of? Like He said to Gideon, have I not sent you? If God is with you, who can be against you? We have to get off the sidelines as Christians, and we have to get into the ball game. We're no longer the cheerleaders of the game. We're the players. We're the main event. We are what God is using as His instrument to change the world, to call the world towards Him. We are to go out and proclaim the gospel to all of the world. God didn't just say that to the person that sits next to you at church. He said it to you also, that you are to go out and proclaim the gospel to all the world. This isn't just for some Christians. This is for all Christians. And we don't have to be afraid that whatever God has called us to do, that we can't do it, because we already know we can't do it. If we could do it, God wouldn't ask us to do it. It's because we have to lean on Him. And you know, when we lean on God to achieve the calling on our lives, it brings intimacy. It brings a closeness that's indescribable. If you really want to get to know God, lean on Him. Lean on Him when it's impossible for you to achieve what He's called you to do, and you will see Him come strong. The more that you trust in God, the more you will see His favor in your life, because by faith we please God, because it's impossible to please God without faith. So if you want to please God, show some faith, step out there and do the things that He's called you to do. Now, you may be listening to this and you may not realize what it is that God wants you to do. Maybe you haven't given much thought. And that's why I tell you, get into the Word of God. Start praying to Him on a daily basis. Ask God to guide your footsteps. The Bible promises us that the footsteps of a good man or a righteous man through Christ is ordered by the Lord. So if you just ask God with a willing heart, Lord, guide me today. A simple prayer to get God moving in your life would be something like this. Lord, I ask You to guide my footsteps today, to close the doors in front of me that I am not to walk through, and open the doors in front of me that I am to walk through. Something simple like that. Just say that every day and mean it from your heart. You can change the words around a little bit. Tell God about the situations and the decisions that you're in for the day. Talk to Him. Talk to Him when you have time. Maybe you're thinking, I don't have a whole lot of time. If you're laying in bed, just pray to Him silently. God knows our thoughts. He certainly knows our heart. There's always time to talk to God. In fact, I have learned that if we neglect time with God, we actually end up wasting more time, because we end up going our own way in life, and we end up wasting more time trying to get ourselves out of the problems that we walked ourselves into. But when we take time out to get God's direction, He actually steers us in the correct direction that we're supposed to go in, and that ends up saving us time in the long run. So I don't believe that people don't have time for God. I just don't believe that. In fact, God did not make the Christian walk where Christians wouldn't have time to spend with Him. No, as Christians, we are to make time for God. We are to make time for His Word. We are to make time for prayer. We are to make time for fellowship. There is no excuse when it comes to spending time with God for the Christian. No, that is a relationship. You try not spending time with your spouse and see how long that relationship lasts, okay? You pull away from your spouse and stop spending time with her or him and see how long they stick around, okay? Eventually, that person's going to withdraw and not want to be around you anymore. That relationship's not going to work out. Somebody's going to suffer, okay? And so you have to spend time with God. You have to spend time with Him. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on His presence. You're going to miss out on His guidance. You're going to miss out on the life that He has for you. Now, to me, it's absolutely crazy for a Christian to believe that they can guide their life better than God, that they know better than God. I've had Christians come up and tell me, I know what God wants for my life. He keeps telling me to do it, but I just don't think it's the right thing for me. You may not have ever spoken those words, but if you've ever thought those words or even conceived of believing those words in your heart, you are way off track with God. Because there is nothing that God would ever tell you to do that would be bad for you. Everything that God asks you to do is perfect for your life. It's perfect for you. And a Christian to believe that God is telling them to do something that wouldn't bless them, that wouldn't be better for them than what they're already in, that's crazy thinking, because they're putting themselves above God's thoughts. And we are far beneath God's thoughts to the power of infinity. And so we have to be very careful when God comes to us and He's tugging at our heart to do something, that we don't look at our own resources like Gideon was doing. Gideon had thousands of men out there ready to fight for him, yet God dwindled them down to just 300. It's because Gideon's mind was thinking, I need might, I need power. But God was saying, you need the Holy Spirit, you need me. He's saying that to you right now. That's why you're listening to this. There's no coincidences in the Christian's life. God is ordering your footsteps. And sometimes you want to take the reins. I understand that. Or perhaps most of the time. And you find yourself in trouble. And then, you know, as people, as human beings, we tend to blame God for the mistakes that we get ourselves into. Well, I've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I haven't seen no blessings. Maybe you haven't given God control of your life. Maybe you haven't surrendered over to the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's why you haven't seen the blessings. I say maybe sarcastically, but yes, that's why. If you're not seeing victory in your life, you are not surrendering your life to God. Make time in your schedule for Him. Seek His face and watch what He brings to your life. I tell you what, the happiest Christians are those who are spending time with God. Those are the happiest Christians I know of. You know, you can run into miserable Christians. You can. Because they're not living surrendered lives to God. And it is a pitiful sight to see. It is. We have to remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. And if you're listening right now and you don't have the Holy Spirit, then I would like to invite you right now to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, then the Holy Spirit is now living inside of you. God Himself is with you and you're now in the family of God.
This is Misha again. James will be back with a final word in just a moment. I just want to remind you again of how much James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. We have every episode of A Word from God archived online where you can easily listen to them. You can can also subscribe to our feed and download the MP3 versions of A Word from God to enjoy at any time. There's even a section online that explains salvation. And if you know someone who isn't saved and wants to know more, just send them a link to the website. You just might be saving their eternal life by doing so. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. Donate online at www.awordfromgod.net or send your donations to James Lindley Ministries, Attention Donations, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God. Now back to James.
Thank you, Misha. In closing, I want to remind our listeners about Moses when he was commissioned by God to lead the Israelites to the Promised Land. Moses had numerous excuses as to why he was the wrong choice for the job, but God had chosen Moses from the very beginning. Remember, Moses was raised by the Egyptian royalty. He was educated by the Egyptians. He knew their government. And he was also wanted for murder. And, of course, he used the excuse that he couldn't speak properly. Yet God gave him all of the resources, all of the grace, and, of course, laid his spirit upon Moses to achieve the goal. Does that mean that it was easy for Moses to go through the motions of serving God? Well, as we read Exodus, we find that Moses did have his struggles, but God was always there for Moses. And like he was there for Moses, he will be there for us. Trust God today and ask him, what is it that he wants from your life? Surrender your life to God and leave all the consequences to God. God will never lead you to anything that he is not going to see you through. He loves you. He cares about you. And Jeremiah 29:11 promises us that the plans that God has for each and every one of us are of good. They're to bless us, not to harm us. God never thinks evil of anyone. God loves and calls each and every one of us into his family. And when we come to his family, we are to serve joyfully. And that joy comes from the work that God has planned for us to do from before the beginning of time. Give God a chance today and ask him, what is it that you would have me do with my life, Lord, for you? I'm James Lindley for A Word from God, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.